I put my hand upon your hip when I dip, you dip, we dip. I put my hand upon your hip when I dip, you dip, we dip.
We dip. And I put yours and I put mine. And I
put down low and roll and grind.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did.
Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, your veggie-consuming, green thumb wannabe, never have I ever on Netflix's number one fan.
And I'm Bethany, your skin deep moisturizing, nightmare having, avoiding giving my cats a bath because it's too much drama, friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we're inviting you to join us. This week, we're talking about
the Michigan Triangle.
Another triangle, Bethany?
We have another triangle. Did you know that the U.S. has its own triangle? Mysterious, mysterious triangle?
Well, there's the Bermuda Triangle.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the Alaskan Triangle.
Uh-huh, you're right. Yes, you did that one.
And now there's the Michigan Triangle?
Yes, also known as the Lake Michigan Triangle.
And it's not a love triangle?
No, it's not a love triangle unless three spooky things came together and all fucked each other and created a lot of drama and sunken ships.
We have a review on our iTunes for somebody who must have been doing research on the Alaskan Triangle.
Oh, no, what happened?
Because they left us a review after listening to that episode, and clearly they wanted like a hard-hitting news source, which was not us.
Oh, no.
and they didn't leave us a very favorable review because like we didn't get to the point quick enough with the Alaskan Triangle.
Oh, the topic hit too close to home.
Too close to home. Bethany, can I tell you, I cannot stop watching, and I finally finished it over the weekend. Never Have I Ever on Netflix. Have you heard of this?
I have. Wait, what's your topic this week?
Oh my God, I didn't even tell you my topic. This week, I'm talking about the power of color.
Ooh.
And ways that you can use color to influence your house and maybe like do a little refresh on your home, which I've been doing during quarantine to make, you know, to make your home just like a more cheerful place instead of feeling like a prison.
That is a great idea. I think that can help a lot of people. Okay, so wait, so go back. So you've been watching Never Have I Ever. Remind me what the show is about.
It's the new Mindy Kaling Netflix project, and she's a co-writer. She co-wrote it with somebody else, and it's about a teen living in Sherman Oaks, California. She's an Indian teen, and it's just her take on life, on what it's like to be Indian and a teenager in America, and the East versus West cultures for her. And it's really one of the best, most smartly written shows I've seen in a long time, and it's definitely not just for teens.
She's Indian American, right?
Indian American, yes.
Yeah, I was listening to another podcast talk about it, and they really liked it. They said that it was really smart. They said the mom character was like a superstar.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody on the cast is just so wonderful. The adults and the teens are both so talented. And I, Bethany, please, I know it's like not your thing to watch these teen dramas. This is no Riverdale. It's no Sex for the Point of Sexy Sex. It's really smart and very hard hitting on important topics.
They don't all have glistening skin as though they were vampires.
No.
Even though they're just teenagers living in Riverdale.
No.
Can I talk about another film that everyone has already seen but is new to me?
Yes, of course.
I finally got a chance to sit down and watch John Wick 3: Parabellum.
Yes, it was a good one.
You seen it?
Oh, yeah, I've definitely seen it.
Kathleen, this movie is amazing. So anytime I watch a John Wick motion picture, I yell goosh every time you shoot someone. So it's just goosh, 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 goosh to the face and a goosh in the chest. And then he goosh, goosh and double goosh and a goosh. And so when he is gooshing with the knives in the scene where he's just pulling knives out of the knife thing and then the dogs, and I was doing all this research on the dogs. The reason that I love John Wick, Chapter 3: Parabellum is because it is the first time ever in a movie that I have not seen an animal on screen and worried that that animal was going to die.
Really?
Like that, because think about it. Really, anytime in a movie an animal shows up, it's usually as a plot device, and you know that animal is eventually going to get hurt. Like, especially with the kind of movies I watch, right? Mm-hmm. Like horror films or action. And even in the movie, like Dumb and Dumber, they have a parrot and then they kill the parrot. parakeet or whatever, right? But in this movie, like, he gets into a cab with his dog and he immediately puts his arm around his dog like you would. There's a cat in a scene lying on a sushi restaurant table, and I never worried they were going to kill the cat. It's clear that the people who make this movie love animals, because yes, the whole movie is predicated on someone shot John Wick's puppy in the first one and he's still upset.
He's still mad.
It was nice to see a movie where animals got to just be animals and they weren't plot devices by being shot at. They were plot devices by being shot at, but like they could handle it.
They can handle
it. Okay.
I will tell you one movie where I never once worried about the animal who was also a star of the movie.
What's that?
Matt LeBlanc's 1996 baseball movie, Ed.
What? Wait, what?
Where the chimpanzee plays semi-pro baseball.
What do you do in your free time? I have never heard of this movie.
Why are you kidding me, Bethany? It's Ed. It's a classic of 1996. Matt LeBlanc is a semi-pro baseball player, and then his roommate is a chimpanzee who's also on the team.
Wait, so this is something that, like, we start out and the monkey is already on the team?
Yes, something like that. But I'll tell you why I don't worry about the chimpanzee in that movie. Because the chimpanzee is mechanical, and it is very clear to the human eye that this is not a real chimpanzee, that it's a mechanical chimpanzee.
You know what? It was just such a simpler time in the 90s. Like, no one had taken down any major buildings recently. No one had gone through any major pandemics recently. Nope. Like, we were mostly worried about our tattoo chokers and our mechanical chimpanzees with the Friends cast member.
There was no Instagram, no online marketing.
Yep.
I was just listening to a podcast, How This Got Made, with Guy Raz.
Oh, okay.
And he was interviewing Joe Malone from the famous fragrance company, Jo Malone.
Oh, yes.
And she was saying how when her product was brought to New York, Bethany, this is how they advertised. Her husband made up shopping bags with her logo on it and then didn't put anything in the bags. And then they paid people to walk around New York carrying these empty bags. And I'm like, this is 1994. This was a simpler time. This was a damn simpler time.
And by the way, brilliant.
Yeah.
And inexpensive.
Yeah.
But simple, totally a simpler time. It was just word of mouth and you would see someone
carrying a bag.
Carrying a bag.
Yeah.
Man.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, if you haven't seen John Wick colon chapter 2 or John Wick colon chapter 3 colon Parabellum, you need to. They're so fun. Gush, gush, gush in the face.
I have a very important hard-hitting question to ask you.
Yeah, ask away. Anything.
Did you get bangs, Bethany?
Yeah.
Did you cut your own bangs?
So here's what happened.
They look great, by the way. They look fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
I've never seen you with a bang in the 8 years that I've known you.
So they don't look great right now because I had to run outside and run errands and it is humid out. And so everything wilted. They looked pretty great when I did them. I couldn't handle looking at myself on Zoom anymore through all of the meetings and everything. And I just realized that, like, I have a 5 head, which is fine, but...
Are you kidding me? You do not have a 5 head.
I fully... Kathleen, look, I can fit all 5 of my fingers on my forehead, which is fine. Tyra Banks has a 5 head, but...
I can fit all 5 fingers on my forehead too, girlfriend.
But I was like, I need something different. My hair is just not doing what I want it to do. And also, it's going to be summertime. I'm going to be wearing it up a lot. And if you have bangs and your hair is up, you have an automatic hairstyle no matter what you do.
Yeah.
And so it was just time. And so I can tell you the exact text I sent to my stylist, Enzo. I had a little bit of a freak out.
Was this before or after you cut the bangs?
Before.
Okay.
I sent him a bunch of pictures of bangs. And then I said, my love, I think it's time. I know you said no, but I have been on so many Zoom calls and forced to look at myself, and my hair is long and flat around my big forehead. What do I do? What do we do? Do we do a long bang? Enzo, help me. Am I amazing at cutting my own hair? Who knows? What do we do? And then he was like, I will help you and talk you through. So
your stylist talked you through cutting your own bangs?
Yeah.
Get out of here. Oh my God, the year 2020. What a year to be alive.
Bless him. Yeah, he had made the offer on a previous Instagram post. Like, by the way, like, if you ever need bangs, we'll just talk you through it. So I took him up on it.
My goodness. Well, I did something to my appearance this week also. And I have to tell you, usually I video record our Skype calls with each other to use on social media.
Yeah.
This week I'm not doing it, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah, why?
Because, Bethany, I went on Amazon a couple weeks ago and I bought a pore vacuum.
What is that?
It's a vacuum that in theory is supposed to turn on and then sucks out all of the dirt from your pores like a regular vacuum would from your carpet, like for your face. you know, a poor vacuum.
Okay, sure. It sounds fun.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You sound so serious. So I feel like the end of this story isn't like, and now my skin is gleaming.
Nope. My skin is not gleaming. I took a shower, softened up my face, you know.
Yeah.
Get all those little dirty little blackheads ready to be sucked up.
Loosen those holes.
Yep. And I ended up with one giant hickey all over my face. All Bethany, like an hour after I did it, I took a picture in the sunlight by the window. I looked like I'd crawled out of a crypt. I looked like an extra on The Walking Dead.
Oh, no.
And then for the next couple of days, I just looked really dirty because the hickeys were healing on my face. And it was just like brown and blue discoloration all over my face. So,
oh, no, honey.
As a result, I have like a giant lip pimple, like something that got half sucked out. I mean, the thing didn't even work. It just, all it did was suck the liquid out of my face. I was just left with horribly bruised, dry skin.
Oh, my gosh. Honey, did you please tell me you returned it for a full refund with a strongly worded email to accompany it?
It was like Amazon. The thing was like $19. I'm just going to throw it away and say good riddance, you know? But listen. Gentle listener, if you were thinking about buying a poor vacuum, don't do it. Don't do it. No matter how many beauty websites tell you that it's amazing, that it works, and look at the results, it's all fake. It's probably just, I don't know, peanut butter inside that they're telling you is poor gunk. It's not poor gunk.
Dude, I wish that kind of stuff worked. It would be so satisfying.
I know.
I used to go to an esthetician who would do microdermabrasion, and then when she was done, she would take the nozzle off and show me all of the dead skin she had sucked up, and that was really satisfying.
Oh, you're turning me on. Talking about that
stuff. Oh my God. I know. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you know what? Like, quite honestly, I would not have noticed because I'm more drawn to the fact that your hair is an adorable pigtails right now and you look like an American girl doll.
Thank you. You know, I'm just a regular 34-year-old woman in a child's hairstyle, but don't mind me. Don't mind me at all.
Those overalls look great too.
I do like overalls.
I was just off mic talking to Kathleen about some of my thoughts and how they spiral and wander and stress me out. We are in Mental Health Awareness Month. Ding, ding, ding. If you're home and you're stressing out, especially because of quarantine, you need to talk to someone. It can help you so much. That's why Talkspace Online Therapy is committed to expanding access for anyone who is struggling with mental health.
Yes. If you've ever considered therapy, you must look into Talkspace. It's so easy. You can access it from home via your computer or your phone. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again 1,000 times over, therapy changed my life.
You can send your therapist texts, audio, picture, or video messages from your phone or computer 24/7. You can do it as much as you need to, and everything happens within Talkspace's secure platform, all on your schedule.
And Talkspace will match you with a licensed therapist based on your specific needs and preferences. They have thousands of licensed therapists trained in over 40 specialties. That includes anxiety, depression, relationship issues, and more.
And once you're matched, you can begin therapy the very same day. By the way, you don't have to be diagnosed with a mental health issue. You can just be a normal person who just needs to talk to someone and get advice. Therapy is for everyone.
The bottom line, you deserve support and you don't have to struggle on your own. Your Talkspace therapist can be your dedicated support system. They are there to help you and feel healthier and more empowered during these uncertain times.
And as a listener of this podcast, you can get $100 off of your first month on Talkspace. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com or download the app and make sure to use the code TASTE to get $100 off your first month and show your support for the show.
That's Talkspace.com. Or download the app and use the code TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, to get $100 off of your first month.
Kathleen.
Yes.
You've heard of the Bermuda Triangle. You mentioned it before. There is the Alaska Triangle. There's a little triangle on the East Coast somewhere in Delaware or somewhere.
Really?
I don't know. There is now a third triangle in the U.S., which is appropriate. It is the Lake Michigan Triangle or the Michigan Triangle. Here's where it is.
Okay.
It spans from Manitowoc, Wisconsin to Ludington, Michigan and south to Benton Harbor. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. So my sources for this story, I will have them all in the show notes, but some of my sources are clickondetroit.com. It's a legitimate site.
I'm sorry. It's just so funny.
BLDG blog, Atlas Obscura, MilwaukeeMag.com, TheTravel.com, Ancient Origins, Michigan Live, and of course, Wikipedia. Are you laughing already?
Well, because I just Googled the Michigan Triangle to get some visuals while you're telling me your story. And the first thing that comes up is click on Detroit Talk.
Yeah, it's a great source. I got most of my info there. You know, click on Detroit. Okay, so there's this triangle. A lot of stuff has happened. Let's start with the Thomas Hume. This is a ship, Kathleen, not a boat, a ship.
Okay. Wait, on Lake Michigan, a ship?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Trading. Okay. Trading and moving stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's important. It's a trade route. So the whole mystery began May 21st, 1891.
Wow.
Yeah, back in the day.
Right when toilet paper was being made in America for the very first time.
I re-listened to your segment on toilet paper. It makes me giggle really hard.
Well, I saw corn in the grocery store today and I was like, that ain't for eating. I'm sorry. I'm derailing your topic.
Derail away, baby. Okay, so a ship named the Thomas Hume had just dropped off a shipment of lumber in Chicago, and now it was heading back across the lake to pick up more lumber back in Michigan. They were sailing alongside the Ruth Simmons, which was another ship from the same lumber company, right? Okay. So they're like two buddy brother ships. So after they took off, though, the crew of the Ruth Simmons, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, quickly decided to turn around and head back to Chicago because they saw a storm coming.
No.
But the Thomas Hume was like, now we can do this. And they decided to keep going. And just like that, the Thomas Hume disappeared forever, along with all seven sailors on board.
Gone.
Gone.
In Lake Michigan. Just bye-bye.
Gone. Gonesville, population seven sailors. Search boats went out, as they do. A huge reward was offered, but nobody found anything. They didn't even find a single piece of wood from the boat. Nothing.
Nothing.
So this happened in 1891. Now, fast forward to 2006. A diver named Taras Lysenko discovered the Thomas Hume at the bottom of the southern part of Lake Michigan, almost completely intact.
What?
Uh-huh. It was so well preserved, researchers said it was basically a time capsule from 115 years earlier. So they found coins inside, tools, clothes, jewelry. It was all tucked safely inside. And then last year, researchers announced that they believe the Thomas Hume hit a sudden squall. Do you know what a squall is, Kathleen?
Is it like a fleet of birds?
That sounds more accurate and would be more entertaining if you died from a squall. Isn't that how Sully had to land on the Hudson because of a squall?
Yeah, it was like a squall of geese or something, right?
Yeah. So a squall is actually a sudden violent gust of wind or a localized storm, right? Huh.
Yeah.
So researchers think that this ship hit a squall, capsized, and sunk.
Wow.
But there's more. When we get into the 1900s, there is more unexplained activity in the Michigan Triangle. November 22nd, 1912. Do you remember our old friend, the Ruth Simmons, the buddy ship of the Thomas Hume?
Yeah. The one that passed it and was like, we're going to take shelter. And Thomas Hume is like, peace. We better than that.
Exactly. The smart brother is the Ruth Simmons. So they're heading across the lake. They're transporting Christmas trees from Thompson, Michigan to Chicago.
Oh, it's Christmas time.
Yeah. And this is also known as the Christmas tree ship. So the captain, whose name was Herman Schuneman, invited a bunch of Michigan lumberjacks to catch a free ride to Chicago with them, which they do. So there's a crew of 16 along with the extra lumberjacks, and they all set sail, and they're never heard from again. The ship was spotted sailing in clear conditions with a distress flag flying, and a lifeboat was sent out to provide aid. But when it got there, there is nothing to find. 1 year later, Christmas trees begin to wash up along the shore.
No.
Uh-huh. And a fisherman in Two Rivers caught Captain Schuneman's wallet a year later, but they did not find the wreckage of that ship until 1971.
That is the saddest Christmas miracle ever.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's a Christmas miracle. We found the dead.
And also, why hasn't Hallmark made a movie about this yet?
No, they really need to. And it's like the ghost of someone who died on the ship falls in love with like a woman today who's too busy. She's a lawyer, you see, and she's too busy to love Christmas. She's got to work on the 24th.
Wait, they already did. They did make a Christmas movie where the woman falls in love with not a ghost, but her imaginary friend.
Do you remember what it's called?
Oh, God. The actress is...
Lacey Chabert?
No. Lacey Chabert is very close cousin actress. Not a real cousin.
Winnie
like
Cooper?
No. Bethany, come on.
Lily Sobieski.
Oh my God, I used to fucking love Lily Sobieski.
I love her. She's great.
The Glass House. That movie is so good.
Dude, The Glass House is so good. Is it Candace Cameron Bure?
It's not. No, it's not her either. Come on. She used to do all the jeans commercials.
Hang on.
Oh, I know who it is. It was Alyssa Milano.
Oh, Alyssa Milano.
And the movie is called Sundays at Tiffany's.
Wait, does she fall in love with someone who she used to know who's like dead now and is her friend? Or is it like just a person she made up?
It's literally her imaginary friend from when she was a little kid who grew up and got hot. And right before she's going to marry the wrong guy, the imaginary friend comes back and falls in love with her too. But he's like, I'm not a real human. How can we do this? And then he's like somehow grounded to be a real human, I think. I don't know. I can't remember.
It's a little bit like Drop Dead Fred. It's the same premise as Drop Dead Fred.
Yeah, but it's actually a Lifetime movie. It's not a Hallmark movie. Yeah.
All right. Right on.
Okay. So the Christmas trees wash up on shore.
Yeah. And then the wreckage of the ship was finally found in 1971. We still don't know what happened.
Was it found anywhere near where the ship was found in 2006?
I don't know for sure.
Probably not.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because then they would have found the other ship.
Yeah. 1919. We're going in year chronology order.
Yes.
In 1919, people reported observing unusual and bright lights in the sky above the Michigan Triangle. They witnessed two large balls of fire fall into Lake Michigan. And the explosion was so powerful that it shook the earth.
And this is before satellites.
Yeah. Two big balls fall into the water. The New York Times reported it as a huge meteor, but some still perceive the event as paranormal. Many people believe it was UFO. There's a lot of UFO sightings at the same point above Michigan Triangle where these two balls fell. Where the balls dropped.
You said balls.
And that's when this theory became a man.
Alien testicles.
Yeah. Fell. They descended that day.
Kerplop.
Let's move on to 1921.
Okay.
The Rosa Bell. It's another ship. Here's the creepy thing about this. Mm-hmm. In 1921, the Rosa Bell was found floating upside down with no trace of a single passenger. Now, it appeared that the ship had been involved in a collision with no one else. Mm-hmm. They looked at it. It had collision damage, but no other ship had reported an accident. And no other remains had been found.
They hit the balls.
They hit the balls. The balls crashed into the ship. They crashed into it.
That's wild.
No other ship reported anything. There were no remains of any other ship. Many people found the incident really creepy because the Rosa Bell had been rebuilt after an earlier wreck in the 19th century, which was very similar to this one in 1921. So it's almost like the whole ship just was kind of cursed.
You know, it's a really beautiful baby name, Rosabel.
It's a great baby name.
Right? Yeah, especially if you live in the South.
Yeah. This is my favorite story. The missing captain. In 1937, there was a ship called the O.M. McFarland, and it's sailing through the upper Great Lakes, which is super icy, and it's pretty treacherous to sail through. The captain was 58-year-old George R. Donner. He guided the ship through, got his crew through the icy waters, and he was like, I earned my sleep. I'm going to go to bed. So as the ship pulls into the Michigan Triangle and is going through it, the captain goes down into his cabin and he shuts the door. He disappeared forever. When his crew came down to wake him up a few hours later, because the ship was reaching its destination, they found that his door had been locked from the inside. So eventually they break the door down. The cabin was completely empty. He was not in it. They searched the entire ship, no captain, but somehow the door had still been locked from the inside. To this day, Captain Donner's disappearance has never been solved. They don't know where he went.
Where'd you go, Bernadette? He just disappeared.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Gone. Gone. How do you lock a door from the inside? And it's not like he crawled out a window. He's below deck, unless the captain's cabin is above deck, but I don't think that's how that works. I think I said above deck.
You did. You did.
I meant deck. I saw you smile. So anyway, gone. All right, moving on to 1950. June 23rd, 1950, Northwest Airlines Flight 2501 was flying from New York to Seattle, cross country, yeah, with 58 people on board. Over the Lake Michigan Triangle, Captain Robert Lind radioed in to request permission to descend to 2,500 feet because he said they had encountered a severe electrical storm and high winds. Huh. But whoever was working on the other side of that was apparently being a jerk that day because permission was denied. Then radar goes dark. No word from the captain. No sign of the plane. Flight 2501 is just gone. So about 2 hours after that last communication with the plane, two police officers reported seeing a strange red light hovering over Lake Michigan and disappearing after 10 minutes, which led some people to believe that a UFO was to blame. Lake Michigan was dragged for wreckage, but searchers didn't find a thing. Human remains then washed up in the days following, but the plane itself had disappeared. Wreckage still has never been found.
What?
Have you heard of the author Clive Cussler?
Can't say I have.
So he's like a thriller writer.
Yeah.
He's now funding a yearly search to try and find this plane. It's undertaken by the Michigan Shipwreck Research Associates. Enough shipwrecks have happened in this area that there's a research associate organization.
What year did the plane go down?
It went down in 1950.
This is really strange.
It's so bizarre.
How come more people aren't talking about this, Bethany?
This is crazy. I was wondering the same thing.
Like, how are you the first person to break this news to me? Like, this should be on the news every single night.
Agreed. Every night we should be like, what's the latest? Has anything been found? And I'm from this area. I'm from the Midwest, and I had never heard of this before.
Wow.
So why is this all happening in this area? I mean, okay, the area gets a lot of weird weather, mm-hmm. so that's probably it.
Yeah.
But a popular theory says that all of these mysterious happenings inside the triangle are a result of an ancient underwater rock formation.
What?
Which was discovered in 2007. This is real.
This is like Legends of the Hidden Temple underneath the water.
Yes. It's been called North America's Stonehenge. It's a 40-foot ring of rocks resting underneath Lake Michigan. It has a really similar layout to Stonehenge, and one of the stones appears to have a carving of a mastodon on it. So if that's the case, someone had to carve it, which means that mastodons weren't in North America 12 million years ago.
Will you remind me what a mastodon is?
It's like a hairy elephant with tusks.
Okay, I know what you're talking about now.
It's like Snuffleupagus.
Okay, like a woolly mammoth or something like that.
Like a woolly mammoth, yeah. And I've seen the carving, and it really does look like someone did it on purpose. There's also a band called Mastodon, by the way, but that's not what they're talking about. Can you imagine? It's just a carving of like these four dudes, you know, like in black t-shirts, just all looking real serious. That's got to be Mastodon.
They all have black nail polish on. It's like, yeah, they're rocking out.
I noticed that facial hair anywhere. Basically, that's it. Like, there have been like UFO sightings. There was one instance where people reported chunks of ice falling from the sky. People have claimed that there's a time portal and that it either slows down or speeds up time during passage. And people have had really scary personal accounts, but recently there really haven't been as many. And so I think maybe that's why we're not hearing as much about it. But there's definitely a lot of really creepy things have happened. And so it's worth noting the Lake Michigan Triangle is pretty spooky.
I mean, I'm really concerned for the people who live in that area.
People in the Midwest are pretty unbothered. I think that if they're anything like my family, it would be like, okay, well, if someone comes over, then we'll just deal with it. And we'll offer him a hot dish and put him to work.
This is wild.
It's crazy.
Why didn't we know about this? Also, like, now I kind of want to go visit the Great Lakes, particularly Lake Michigan. This is sad. I live in America. I've never been to any of the Great Lakes.
Look, we live in a very large country.
Yeah.
And there's not like rail travel all over the place. It's don't let those Europeans make you feel bad about yourself. They can hop on a train and be in like Germany in a few hours. It's harder to travel the country here. So
yeah,
don't feel bad.
Yeah, I really, one of these days I need to get around to taking that like that long road trip.
Yeah. When we're allowed to travel again, my mom and Dennis and I are planning a trip by rail across from like her place to our place. We're very excited.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I hear that Whoopi Goldberg won't get on planes and she has to go everywhere by rail.
Really?
Yeah.
It's also more romantic to say by rail versus like by train. I'm insisting now on calling things like if you mail something, you're sending it by post.
Oh, by post.
Instead of mailing it because it's fancier.
But you know what? Rail, it takes you like so much longer to get there. Does it become less enchanting after the first hour when you've already scrolled through everything on Instagram?
Yeah, probably. I don't know, yeah. But you can sleep and like, you know, you don't have to get touched to get on the rail versus a trub plane.
Now, this type of Michigan Triangle news.
Yeah.
You know, the shipwrecks and that kind of stuff. This is the type of scuba diving that I would be interested in doing because there are no sharks in Lake Michigan, right, Bethany? Right. There are no sharks in Lake Michigan. Like, there are no...
Not that we've discovered, no.
There's nothing that's, like, going to eat me. Like, the ocean is just so vast.
Yeah.
And when people go, like, scuba diving in the ocean, I'm like, quite literally, anything could come from anywhere.
Yeah. Anything can come in and could kill you. And
yes,
could be, like... I'm like, there really aren't that many massive animals on the earth anymore because there's no space for them. And also the food supply can't always support that massive of an animal, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But in the ocean, there's so much more room and it's so deep that we don't know what the food supply is like down there. And I feel like if you're going to have any massive animals left on this earth, they're going to be in the water, in the oceans, in the night, in the dark.
Definitely. Yes.
Too scary.
The fish that have like teeth coming out of every single orifice that live like where the sun doesn't touch. Get out of here.
Uh-huh. Those massive squid, giant squid. Like you get stuck in a tentacle. Now the camera zooms back and that tentacle is like the pinky of the animal. Ugh. And you are the size of its nail.
Ugh.
And that animal is the size of your screen and your screen is pulled way the fuck out.
Ooh, have you seen the latest Godzilla movie?
No.
The first one, they like thought that they killed him, but really he just went to his ocean pied-a-terre in the bottom of...
Picked up his mail.
The depths of the earth, and he went there to recover.
What does one do in a pied-a-terre but recover?
So, Lake Michigan, Bethany, so we're going to go scuba diving there this summer. Sound good?
Yeah, hell yeah.
I love my Noom app because... I need something to hold me accountable. And Noom is great because getting in shape doesn't have to be about losing a specific amount of weight or hitting a magic number on the scale. For me, using the Noom app is about building healthier habits and feeling better about myself.
People are feeling really out of control right now because we're stuck in our homes. And if you're looking for a little bit of sanity or someone to help you get back on track with what makes you feel healthy, Noom is a great option. It's the habit-changing solution that helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses.
The other day, I thought I had blown it with some really piss poor food choices. And then I was like, okay, let me open my Noom app. Let me put in my food. And Noom doesn't ever say food is bad. It just gives you three different categories, green, yellow, and red, kind of like a stoplight. And it really helped me look at what I'd eaten that day in a different way, as opposed to just immediately crashing and burning.
Yeah, Noom is not there to shame you. They don't tell you what to do or what not to do. They basically teach you why you do the things you do and then empower you with the tools you need to break bad habits and replace them with better ones.
When I opened my Noom app, I spent 10 minutes a day. It feels like me time. And I know that they're teaching me new habits based on psychology.
Plus, you have people surrounding you that want to help you. Chat with your goal specialist and the entire Noom community to get and give help to people who are going through the same things.
You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress.
Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/taste.
What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/taste to start your trial today.
Again, that's Noom.com/taste. Buying groceries right now is kind of a fraught experience, which is why I'm so happy, Kathleen, we've discovered Thrive Market.
I've been interested in Thrive Market for years. It's a website and an app where you can go on and get amazing products that fit your diet, like keto or paleo or plant-based.
Thrive Market gets you high-quality organic and non-GMO groceries delivered to your door for a lot less than you're paying now, and it helps out families in need. This is what I love. I'm a Thrive Market member, which means my paid membership provides a free membership for someone else in need, like a low-income family, a teacher, a veteran, or a first responder. Because Thrive Market wants to make sure that high-quality food is accessible to everyone.
They also offer clean beauty products and bath products and pet staples and non-toxic cleaning products, plus ethical meat, sustainable seafood, clean wine, and so much more. Go to the website, go to the app.
And as members, Kathleen and I are saving 25 to 50% off of traditional retail prices, and their carbon neutral shipping is free on orders over $49.
Thrive Market is working 24/7 to make sure members are getting their groceries delivered as fast as possible. You can learn more about their commitments to customers and membership matching on their website.
In addition to this membership matching, Thrive Market is matching donations to their COVID-19 relief fund and dollar for dollar. So try Thrive Market and become a member risk-free. Go to thrivemarket.com/taste.
Join today and you'll get up to $20 in shipping credit towards your first order. That's thrivemarket.com/taste to start your risk-free membership and get up to $20 towards your first order.
thrivemarket.com/taste.
Okay, Bethany, today I want to talk about the power of color and how the power of color in your home can make your home during quarantine feel like a happier place and a place that you're excited to be instead of like this, I'm stuck at home, sort of drab jail cell-esque place.
Fully. I am on board for this.
I started really thinking about this when my friend Kristen, I was on Zoom with her and a couple of other friends a few days ago, and she's like, ladies, I have a surprise. Next time I see you, my hair is going to be a different color. Why don't you all guess? And so we guessed. And then in a few days, she revealed to us that she had dipped the tips of her blonde hair into this turquoise dye.
Yes, good girl.
And it just looked amazing. She said to us, you know, I've been thinking about color a lot lately because I painted my home very soothing and relaxing colors because we spend most of our time here when we're relaxing because we go to work and we do all our work there. And then we come home and then we want to decompress. So that's kind of like the colors that she painted her walls. Yeah. And she said, working from home, I'm sort of rethinking that strategy because now I want something that's a little bit more bright, something that's a little bit more invigorating. And so I'm starting with my hair, then I'm moving on to other things in my house. And it got me thinking, I have been buying a lot of accessories for my home because I'm like sitting here and I'm like, ugh, I hate this rug. Like, you know, because you're looking at things for so many hours a day when maybe you would only look at them for like 30 minutes a day.
Fully. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And my friend Kristen told me this amazing story. A couple of years ago, there's a low-income community in Mexico. The community was called Las Palmitas. And for many years, Las Palmitas was a rundown neighborhood. It overlooked the Mexican city of Pachuca, and it was just a hive of delinquency. Drab homes, dimly lit streets. The community is all built into a hillside, and it was just rife with drug addiction and theft and domestic violence.
Oh, that's awful.
And so the government stepped in, and the government hired German muralists.
Okay.
And the muralists worked with the homeowners and they painted the community of Las Palmitas. This is over 200 homes in colors like bright lavender and lime green and incandescent orange. Ooh. And just like, it looks like a beautiful bag of Skittles was arranged on this hillside.
Oh, I love this.
So it went from like drab cement cinder blocks to just the loveliest hillside community splashed with color.
Oh.
And when you see it from afar, all of the colors make this pattern. So if you're driving into this community, you see this beautiful pattern in the distance, and then you get there and every building, every home is a different color. And when they did this, when they painted it, crime went down.
Wow.
Drugs went down. It became a safer place.
Wow.
Shops were finally opening because they weren't afraid of being targeted. It just became a safer, homier, more vibrant community. And I thought, God, color affects so much of our lives. I want to take a deeper look into this. And right before we started recording this, Bethany, behind me, I was showing you and your mom, when my dad died, she sent me this plant, this beautiful green plant. Oh, I texted her, thank you. And she texted me back and she said, I wanted to give you something that was a sign of life. Mm. That was a sign of peace and life to come. And this green plant, which was formerly the only green thing in my apartment, like I've caught the green bug. And it has nothing to do with me being like a lover of plants. It has everything to do with your mom showing me how just having one green thing in my apartment was contagious.
It changes the entire room. It changes a desk. It's incredible. When you see something and you add a plant to it or a splash of some type of green life,
yeah,
it instantly lifts your mood. It's crazy.
Yeah. Over the weekend, I got this blanket in the mail that I've been eyeing forever. And it's sort of funny how I'm spending my money differently nowadays because all of the other things that I used to spend my money on, like, it's not that I have a huge extra influx. I'm just not spending my money on things like clothes and commuting. So I have like a little bit of extra money in my bank account. So I finally went ahead and bought this blanket. Bethany, I'm going to show you a picture of it because my husband was on a call and I couldn't go into the bedroom to get it.
Oh, he's on a call right now. Should we go ask him how the call is going?
Yeah.
Take your shirt off and run into the room.
He's giving presentations. When I have to get something from the bedroom when he's on a call, I have to get down on my belly and slither past his chair like a damn snake.
That's amazing.
And like after one particular bout of a bad couple days where I hadn't showered and like I just looked like an abominable sea monster, I stood up too soon and I think it's...
It's like the BBC presenter. I think he's in South Korea and his like wife and children burst into the room while he was doing a Zoom or a Skype call. Yeah. It's my favorite clip. And the little girl's just walking, like she marches in dancing, just like.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So his coworkers caught a glimpse of just like my naughty hair just going all different directions. There's this blanket from a company called Calhoun & Co.
Okay.
And I've been eyeing it forever. It's like yellow stripes with these big pink and red lips. And I'm going to hold it up to the camera.
Oh, my gosh.
And just having this pop of color in my house has made me so happy. So I researched some ways that people can update their houses right now, sort of on the cheap if you have to work from home. And actually, a lot of my friends have been getting word from their companies that they have to stay home until September.
Ooh, whoa.
So this is going to be months.
Yeah.
I bet some of our taste buds are in the same boat. So number one, do a quick rearranging of furniture.
Oh, I love that.
First of all, you get to vacuum up all the dust bunnies or sweep up all the dust bunnies, which is so satisfying.
You're going to find your husband's wedding ring where he like swears that he didn't take it off to cheat on you and you didn't believe him and it caused a fight and also a small breakup. And you're going to find that ring and boy, will you feel dumb. And that's what you're going to do is hide it. You're going to hide the wedding ring so you don't have to admit that you actually found it. He'll find it and then you won't look like a jerk.
Exactly.
When you move the furniture.
Bethany, you make this sound like this has happened to you before. Have you been married and I don't know about it?
Let's move on.
Okay. All right. So rearrange your furniture. I know that has nothing to do with color, but if you put your favorite chair next to the window and you get some afternoon light when you're sitting in that favorite chair, there might as well be a new coat of fresh paint on your walls because your house is going to feel so totally different to you.
Very, very, very good point.
Number two, update your curtains. Now, blackout curtains are great for people who work odd hours and who have to sleep when the sun is out or for people who have insomnia. But I'll tell you this, I used to have a bedroom in a basement and I didn't get any sun. Like I had a door, but no windows in that bedroom. And I would wake up every morning feeling groggy as shit. Like I was pulling myself out of the mud every single day. Mm. And when I finally got a bedroom that had windows, I put these like gauzy curtains on them. It was just the sun slowly waking me up in the morning. And gauzy bright colored curtains, I'm telling you, it is going to change your life.
One thing you can do too is if you need blackout curtains, because I like them for blocking out street sounds.
Yeah.
But I have two curtain rods. So I have like the bigger one in front and the smaller one behind. And I have gauzy curtains that hang on the small one and the blackout curtains that hang on the big one. So you can open the blackout curtains and you still can have the gauzy ones hanging in front if you want.
And gauzy curtains really don't cost that much. Like they sell them at Urban Outfitters for like college kids in dorm rooms and they're really nice. And gauze is like one of those materials that you can't tell if it was cost you a lot of money or didn't cost a lot of money. It's all the same thing. And number three, change your wall color. There's no better time to go to Home Depot with your mask on, you know, and your hand sanitizer, be prepared. But everyone is stuck at home right now. So even if it's just one wall in your house, like the wall behind your couch or the wall that you first see when you wake up in the morning, paint your walls.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And if you like live in an apartment, you're not allowed to paint. Don't they have removable wallpaper?
They do. I have it in my kitchen.
That's great. Yeah, do removable wallpaper.
Yes. And your landlord is never going to yell at you for painting one of the walls white. Like maybe every room in your house is painted an ugly shade of cream. And there's nothing I hate worse than ugly shades of cream.
Yeah.
It's like such a pet peeve of mine. But if you paint the whole apartment white, your landlord probably won't even notice. And white is a great way to give the illusion of your house or your apartment being bigger.
Oh.
And if you pair that with like strategic mirrors, you can change your whole apartment. You can change the way that your apartment or your house absorbs light. You can change the way that it reflects light. When I'm talking about like the power of color, sometimes it's also the absence of color. Just like white may be what is on your menu of game changers.
That's a really good point. Every apartment that I've lived in I would say the past three apartments, I've always had just a mirror wall.
Yes.
Where it's just different mirrors that I've collected from flea markets or eBay, or I've literally found some on the side of the road. And you put them in like a fun, visually pleasing, organized way, and it just wide opens your apartment right up.
Hell yeah. I mean, my favorite room in my apartment right now is sort of my back office slash den slash lady cave, which I recently painted a very soft shade of pink, and I put a huge mirror in there. In the afternoon, like Bethany, it's 4:15 in the afternoon right now. The light coming through the window is just the window that you can't see via Skype.
Yeah.
You can only see the window behind me, the window in front of me. The light is just so beautiful. And a room that I once upon a time didn't spend any length of, you know, anything in, I'm spending all my time in now.
That's great.
Something that I've also recently done. So number four, change your light bulbs. Change your light bulbs.
Okay. Light bulbs are something I don't understand. So tell me what I should be changing them to.
And I only understand this because I work in Photoshop a lot, and I understand the difference between editing a photo to be warm and editing a photo to be cool. I tend to do all of my artwork and my photo editing on the cool side because I like bright whites.
Okay.
I'm not into anything like looking like it's in an everlasting sunset, right?
Okay. Yeah, right.
I want it to be like I'm taking a picture of like a green smoothie by the window, just like so white and light and bright. So I bought light bulbs that are daytime.
Okay.
Light bulb technology, gentle listener, I don't know if you've been to Home Depot lately, but Home Depot is my home away from home. There are an infinite amount of different types of light bulbs that you can buy now, but my favorite are cool daytime light, because all of the light bulbs in my apartment that I had bought previously were like this yellow light.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking up at my kitchen right now. Straight up, one of the lights is orange.
Yes, exactly. And that is the type of light that people, A, never look good, and B, it just doesn't make my soul feel good.
Yeah.
I want light, like bright white light. So daytime light bulbs are the ones that you need to look into.
Okay. And it will say on the package, daytime light bulb? Okay, perfect.
Absolutely. And daytime light bulbs aren't so beautiful to look at when it's really dark out. Like when I go into my bedroom and I put on my daytime light bulbs, I'm like, this is jarring. But typically at night, I have like other small lamps, and those are the ones that I keep on at night.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to keep on the bright lights at night anyway. But yeah. I will say that if you're someone who likes a lot of light in your apartment at night, maybe daytime light bulbs are not for you. You can do a little bit more research on it, but daytime light bulbs are what I changed everything in my apartment to be.
Amazing. Thank you for that. I needed someone to just sit me down and explain light bulbs because I don't know them. And then someone laughed at me once, and then I asked them to explain and they didn't know them either.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Huh.
Hurtful.
Very hurt. How dare they?
I know.
How dare they?
It was a hurtful moment. I still remember it.
Number five. Bethany, I don't know if you're like me, but I've been really obsessed with buying art online lately because now I'm starting to look at walls and I'm like, I want to see something beautiful there.
Oh, yeah, totally.
There's a website called Everything But the House, EBTH.com. And it's essentially you can go on and you can bid on pieces of art that you like. And those pieces of art could be like $10 or $20 or, you know, like up into the hundreds. And I've been bidding on just, you know, like $10, $20 here. And I've been actually winning some of my auctions. And now I've been collecting all of these beautiful pieces of colorful art to have in my apartment. Something that I never in a million years would have sat down to really take the time and think about had we not been in quarantine.
What kind of stuff are you bidding on? Like what kind of auctions have you won?
I won this really beautiful lithograph that looks just like orange streaks and like orange sprays of paint. But when you look at it from afar, it's the silhouette of a woman's lower body and she's sort of like laying on her side.
Oh,
it's really such a cool thing. And there are a couple of other things that I've won, but if you don't have a lot of art in your apartment, maybe now is the time to, like, since you're spending all your time in your house, like, think about putting some color on your walls.
Totally. I agree. There's also a website, Society 6.
Oh, yes. I love that. I actually just got their catalog in the mail the other day.
I love them. So it's a bunch of different artists and you can order their stuff. You know, it's a lot of those different companies where you can order an image on a lot of different things, but they have prints, they have canvases, they have furniture and office supplies and stuff. I've ordered wall art from them before, and I've also ordered a design that I really love, which was like this painted colorful donkey.
Ooh.
I ordered it on two pillowcases and then a smaller canvas tote and cut it out. And that's the donkey that I sewed onto donkey chair when I reupholstered donkey chair.
Oh, no way. That is so smart.
If you're looking for something like that, go to Society 6 too. But I like the idea of like bidding on these one of a kind pieces. That's really cool.
Now, Bethany, you've got a lot of art in your apartment. Where do you find those pieces?
You know what? A lot of them are from Etsy artists.
Yeah. Do you know one of my favorite things now is to go through Etsy and like heart things that I love?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I also have these two black and white, I don't know if they're pencil drawings, in my kitchen. And it's this man named Joel. And I don't know anything else about him. He just signs his pieces Joel. And I saw a small version of these in a hotel once. And I went online and just scoured the internet until I found them and fell in love. And I ordered a couple of those. So there's, you know, anytime you see art that you really connect with.
Yeah.
Just do a little Googles and see if it's something that you can find reproduced somewhere.
Yes. And it doesn't matter how much it costs. I mean, it could be $5. If it speaks to your soul, frame that shit and put it on the wall.
Absolutely.
Number six. This is something that my husband did. And I'm so pleased that he did it. Bethany, it just makes me so hot for him even thinking about it. He pulled down every single book from our bookshelf and then reorganized it by color.
Ooh, I love that.
Oh, he's getting me all hot and bothered.
Okay, here's a question. Is it in any order after it's put in color order?
So, no, because that was my job and I haven't done it yet.
Okay, cool. Right on.
It's my job to sort of style it and I haven't done it yet, but that's on the list. And you know, just like Bethany was talking about pillows and pieces of furniture, like maybe now's a good time to throw away some of your old furniture and think about ordering something new and a bright color. Like I'm dying for like a mauvey pink sofa. I'm dying. Ooh. For one. Dying.
Well, and another option, if you don't want to throw something away, maybe money is tight, paint something.
Yes.
Take a chair, paint it. Or it's actually not that difficult to reupholster just your average wooden chair with a fabric seat.
Yeah.
Flip it upside down, unscrew the base, and you'll see the way it was reupholstered the first time. And
yeah.
Just kind of follow that. It's usually just staples or nails, and get yourself some really cool fabric. I just recently got this beautiful print for a chair I reupholstered on Spoonflower.
Oh.
If you go to spoonflower.com, they have artists upload their own designs. So you're supporting artists. And you can Google if there's like you want fabric that's pink or you want fabric that has French bulldogs on it or whatever you want. You can find so much fabric and you can buy it in a small amount and it's pretty affordable. You get maybe like 1 yard and you can reupholster a chair and then paint it and it's a brand new chair in your house.
What a cool website, spoonflower.com. I've never heard of this before.
Oh, they're the best. They're so great.
Also, chair covers and couch covers, like that's a great way to update if you don't want to spend a lot of money on something new or maybe you're not in the market for something new. So that said, I have some really weird facts about color that I want to share with you.
Oh, I love. Okay, bring it on.
So pink soothes the nerves. Did you know that?
I did not.
It's often used for anger management. This is from bestlifeonline.com. So the color pink has been found to have a palliative effect on people. And if someone is angry or aggressive, the presence of pink can calm them down. Bethany, this is what science says. This is what research says.
I had no idea. I'd heard that about green. I'd never heard that about pink.
And they've been trying out the color pink in prison populations to like bring anxiety levels down, you know, throughout large groups of people.
I love this for people.
White is the safest color, but like not in the way you think.
Okay.
Studies of vehicular accidents and the colors of the cars involved in these accidents, white is the color least likely to be involved in an accident.
Oh, I wonder what that's about.
That's according to the Monash University Accident Research Center.
Do they say why they think that is?
They didn't say specifically why, but they did a study between 1987 and 2004, and it was just the color of the car that was least likely to be in an accident.
That's crazy.
Bad news, if you're driving a black car, you have a 12% higher chance of getting into an accident than if you drive a white car. Mm. Black is the unsafest color of cars.
I bet there's a reason. I mean, I feel like with a white car, subconsciously, you know that any mark is going to show up a lot, and so maybe you're driving a little bit more safely. Maybe. And maybe black cars are often really difficult to see at night. And so they get run into.
I was thinking that also at night, like white cars are pretty easy to see because like light reflects off of white.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, yeah.
Also something I learned worldwide, blue is the most common favorite color.
Do you remember the MTV made for TV movie Together? The fake band they put together.
Oh, Calculus.
Yes. Like, yes. So all of their favorite colors was blue. Were blue. They all had the favorite color blue. And they were like, you can't all have the favorite color blue. And so then they cut to a press conference and some reporter asks, what's your favorite color? And it goes down the line and they're like, light blue, dark blue, navy blue, cerulean blue. It's very funny.
Oh, man. I remember everyone having the CD when that came out. Like everyone wanted to own the soundtrack to that.
It was a legit, there were good songs.
You know, in ancient Rome, blue was seen as the color of the working class and it was looked down upon, blue. If you are wearing the color blue, you are not as worthy as I am because I am wearing the color white or black or red.
Wow.
And did you know that some people have the phobia of color? Like this is a real thing. Chromophobia or chromatophobia. It's an ongoing and irrational fear of colors that can have a negative impact on a person's daily activities.
Oh my gosh.
This fear can sometimes stem from a traumatic event associated with a certain color.
So it's not they're afraid of all colors.
Just certain colors.
Just like purple. Yeah. Like once Grimace from McDonald's like got a little too close and giggled a little too hard.
Yeah.
And now they're terrified.
Yeah. I would love to see a documentary on this.
That'd be fascinating. Yeah. I had no idea that existed.
Bethany, are you in the mood for a snack right now?
Always.
Well, if you are looking at the colors yellow and red, they are designed to make you hungry. That's why a lot of fast food chains, aka McDonald's, their logos are done in either yellow, red, or both.
That makes a lot of sense. So what is it? It's McDonald's, Hardee's / Carl's Jr.
Wendy's is red.
Red.
Subway is yellow.
Yeah, Subway is yellow. Red Robin is red.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And also, did you know that red is the first color a baby sees?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, that's crazy.
Now, more back to like the psychology of personal color.
Yeah.
Color has a big impact on first impressions. So if you have like a big event coming up or a big date or a big interview, if you want to make a good impression, 90% of first impressions are based on how someone is wearing color.
Oh, crap.
So if you're trying to make a good impression because you're meeting someone for the first time, avoid neutrals.
Oh, no.
You want to go for that bright pop of color because it makes you more memorable.
God damn it. Can I do a pop of color, literally, and not, you know, I'm not going to wear a bright orange tank top with a blue skirt. Why are you drinking water judgmentally right now?
I'm not. I'm drinking it because my mouth is parched.
I once had the most important meeting of my entire life and I didn't know what to wear. And so I Googled a picture of Kate Beckinsale and she was wearing all black with like great high heels. And so that's what I wore because I felt like she always looks put together. And so I wore all black.
The science is there, Bethany. If you want to make a good impression when you're meeting someone for the first time, you must wear color. I'm sorry.
Can I wear a black or an off, don't roll your eyes at me. Your whole demeanor just got really sad. Can I do the pop of color with mostly black? That's where I feel really comfortable.
Okay. Yeah.
Because you also don't want to go into something and just feel not yourself.
Yeah. Here are my feelings on all black with a pop of color. You have to be really strategic on where that color pop is located, or else you're just going to look like Regis Philbin in the early years of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, remember?
What, did he always wear black suits with a color tie or what?
Yeah, black suits, black shirt, and then like a yellow tie.
Okay, so let's say that I'm wearing all black and like a scarf that has a color and also a bag that is of that same color or that family.
Ease into it. I give you permission to ease into it. But Bethany, you would look, I've seen you wear a blue dress before. You know, remember that Versace dress, that Armani Versace dress that you used to have, like the A-line that you wore to like a couple of our holiday concerts when we used to work together in an office?
Probably. I think
so. Oh, come on. You know it. Bethany, I even know the year. It was like 2014 or 2015. And it was short and it was like a tank dress and it was A-line. It had like a bubble skirt.
Yes, yes, yes. It was like black and royal blue, like kind of metallic snake print dress. Yes. I still have it.
Bethany, that dress, you should wear that to your next interview.
Really?
Yes.
With the bubble skirt?
I freaking love that dress, Bethany. Yes. If you put a white collared shirt underneath that and your bangs, oh my God, you're me.
Okay, great. Okay. See, I think sometimes we just need someone to look at our closet for us and decide what we should wear.
You know what? You're right. That's why people hire stylists.
It's true. It's very true.
I have another fun fact about blue. You ready?
Yeah.
If you are someone who gets bit by mosquitoes, you should probably avoid darker shades of blue in the afternoon because mosquitoes love blue too, just like the rest of the world.
Oh, so they're drawn to it. That's good to know.
There's science behind this. Jonathan Day, he's from the University of Florida. He says that mosquitoes are highly visual insects, especially later in the afternoon. And so their first mode of search when they're looking for humans is vision. So people dressed in darker colors like dark shades of blue, navy blue, dark shades of red and black, they stand out more than people in lighter colors.
Oh, so like white is going to be good for you.
Yeah. Do mosquitoes bite you?
No, but my sister, they are so attracted to her. And I always just assumed that they can smell your blood, that they can like sense who has, I don't know, a better blood. Right? Because don't you find that they're drawn to some people and not to others?
Yeah. Like I almost never get bit. And I just always assumed it's because my blood is not pure.
Yeah. I mean, I always assumed it's because my sister's blood was sweeter. You know, when you say something out loud and then you realize it's dumb, I've always assumed she has sweeter blood. And now just now realizing that's the stupidest thing I've ever said.
No, it's not stupid. Everyone's blood composition is different. It makes sense.
Sweeter. This one has more sugar in it.
Here's a weird color fact for you, Bethany. It's about the color gray. So,
okay, love it. Yeah, great. Yeah. Let's go. That is normally my pop of color. So
say you're shutting off the lights in your bedroom. You're getting ready to go to bed. Or when you close your eyes, that shade of gray that you see behind your eyelids sort of as the light is evaporating from your eyes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a name for that shade of gray.
Really? What's it called?
It's called Egengrau. 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 Egengrau.
Wait, spell it.
Egengrau. Sounds German.
Egengrau.
Yes. And it's the shade of gray before darkness takes over your eyes to adjust to the lack of light.
Look at that. You're right. I'm looking it up right now. Number 16161D. Mm-hmm. Egengrau, also called Egenlicht. Dark light or brain gray. Ooh, brain gray.
Are you going to go to the paint store now and say, sir, give me your finest paint in Egengrau?
Egengrau.
I want to order my couch in Egengrau.
You mean Egenlicht? It's right over here.
Speaking of German, orange used to not be called orange.
Oh, what was it called?
So before, it was called this really complicated word that didn't quite roll off the tongue. It was called Geoluched.
Spell that.
Geoluhread, which means yellow red.
Oh, yeah.
Geoluched. It's orange is much snappier.
Yeah.
So the citrus fruit was called orange as far back as the 13th century. And it wasn't until the 16th century that Europeans were like, okay, fuck Geoluched. Let's call orange orange. And then orange was orange.
I think that's better. Gallrod. Probably. It's my favorite color.
Bethany,
yes.
If you're trying to get yourself a man, not that really freaking matters at all. I don't need no man, especially during quarantine.
Especially because you're married.
Yeah, well, that too.
There's that.
If you're trying to attract a man, they like women dressed in red.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Lady in red.
Food and ladies.
Strawberries. Mmm, those are the fruit of sex, aren't they? No.
I don't. I see. I think so. But I always worry you're going to get the seeds in your teeth.
Mm. I don't mix calories where I do the dirty. So I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Food and sex is tough for me. I just don't like being sticky and like, you know, whipped cream or whatever. Now it's just sour milk smelling. But I'm also just like not the most romantic person in the world.
No. And I don't have a washer dryer. I ain't got time for that.
Exactly.
OK. There's science behind it. A study conducted by the University of Rochester found that when men were presented pictures of women in frames that were red versus photo frames that were not red, they always chose the woman in the red frame as the more attractive woman.
That blows my mind. It's just so easy and simple.
Yeah. I'm just going to dress in red all the time and be like, hello, sir. Are you attracted to me?
Across from red on the color wheel is green, correct?
Yes.
So if you're absolutely trying to not attract a man, do you just dress in green to try and ward them off? Will green be your protection?
You know what? I don't know. I'm not sure.
I feel like it would. I feel like it's worth a shot.
You know, but I associate green with Whole Foods, and Whole Foods is one of my favorite happy places. So, but you know what? I used to have this really cute red coat back when I was in college, when I was a senior, and in New York in the winter, it's just a sea of black coats.
Like, yeah, totally.
Everyone's got a black pea coat or a black puffer coat or whatever. Here I am bopping along, boop, 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 in my little red coat. And I had like this really cute short haircut. And this man stopped me on the train and he's like, I just have to tell you, I really like seeing color. He was referring to my coat and also my computer case. So I was carrying my laptop with me on the train and I had this like rainbow colored laptop case.
Oh, I'm sure you were a beacon of light in amidst all of that black.
I certainly was, but never has anyone ever, like a total stranger, stopped me before other than that guy just, and I was wearing red. So man, there's some science to it, you know?
I think so. I mean, when I was in college, I dyed my hair red, like a really beautiful auburn, but bright red.
Oh, I'd love to see a picture of that.
Oh, I love that hair color. It was really tough to maintain, but I have never been stopped more than I was by people on the street yelling at me, like dudes in cars, dudes on bikes, dudes walking by when I had red hair.
Really?
I walked out of the salon and it was like, hey, red. Hey, girl. Ooh, girl. Ooh, red. I got constantly. So I don't know.
It's the Jessica Rabbit effect, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
You know, speaking of color, you and I both have sort of the same shade of grayish hair right now.
Yeah.
Yours is a little bit more gray than mine, but I've been using this purple shampoo and it's transitioning my hair into this brown because I can't make it to the salon.
I know. Purple shampoo is like a good way to get kind of a nice ashy color.
Slightly lavender.
Yeah.
Okay. One more color fact for you to send you on your way to have a beautiful day. You ready for it?
I'm ready. Bring it. Bring it. Cover me in it.
Another one about red. If you're going to take an exam, like you have a very important test, do not wear red. Avoid looking at red because even a hint of red can make you flunk that exam.
Okay, that blows my mind because if you think of red as a power color, the red is the color of like winners. Red is the color of sex and money and food. Why would you not want to be surrounded in that kind of aggressive power winning color?
Researchers at the University of Rochester and the University of Munich determined that even a hint of red on an exam can negatively impact the test taker's performance because a lot of people, when they're thinking about testing and testing performance, if you see red on your paper, like think about your paper coming back to you, it just is like a big F circled in red. They associate red with mistakes and failures when test taking, and in turn, then they do poorly.
That makes sense because red is like the teacher uses a red pen or a red pencil. Oh my gosh, we are such simple creatures at the end of the day. We're so easily swayed and we don't even know it.
I know. We just can't even make up our own minds. It's all about the spectrum.
Yeah, maybe that's why I wear black. I'm like Steve Jobs. I don't want to think about it. And so I just always wear the same color. Otherwise, I'm too easily influenced. That's my justification.
I will not succumb to peer pressure. I only wear black.
Only wear black. You can't see me. I'm like Egan Krau. I'm like that shadow.
Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
Last podcast, you talked about tips for sleeping better, right? Because anxiety during quarantine, I know Dennis has been having a lot of trouble sleeping.
Yeah, totally.
You suggested the Rain Rain app.
Yeah. I asked on Twitter and so many people said that they have been using the Rain Rain app. Like multiple people recommended it. I had a couple of DMs too. By the way, the Rain Rain app.
It is my favorite thing.
Really? This is not an ad for the Rain Rain app, by the way.
They should advertise on this podcast. So I just got Bluetooth earbuds, you know, like wireless Bluetooth earbuds, which are, let me say, the best invention ever.
Yeah, they're pretty great.
And they're kind of like noise canceling a little bit. So my new favorite thing to do is put in my earbuds, open up the Rain app, listen to the ocean waves, and then open up Pinterest and start pinning pictures of beach houses.
This is a full immersion experience that you've created for yourself.
I can't even tell you. I'm going to start putting on a bathing suit when I do it and sitting by the window.
I was going to say, or put your feet in a tub of water or like lay in the tub. This is wonderful. I do love the idea of white noise, but I had no idea the Rain app was kind of killing it.
Oh, did you know there's such a thing as brown noise and pink noise?
I've seen them. I don't know what they sound like.
Brown noise, I think, is my favorite. It's much more soothing than white noise.
Really? Is it denser?
It's like lower in tone. So like, whereas white noise might be like, brown noise is like,
can you still hear ghosts through the brown noise the way you can hear ghosts come through the white noise?
I don't know. That's a good question. We should find an expert to ask.
Wait, do your impression of the brown noise.
I'm your mother. You're a major disappointment.
Do you listen to, now we're just talking about other products. Do you listen to the podcast Reply All?
I do. Yes, I love them.
Okay. Did you hear the episode they did where someone emailed in because they were listening to a white noise app? And in the white noise, they heard someone come into a room.
Yes.
And they could have been. It was the scariest thing.
Yes.
Because like you're relaxing, your eyes are closed, and then you hear someone open a door and come into your room. Yes. And it was like this recording behind the white noise that this app had.
It was like just a total mistake.
Yeah. That's my nightmare.
Well, you know what? I had to stop listening to the ocean waves with the thunder going on in the background because a couple of nights in a row, I would hear like a crash out in the living room because I fall asleep now with my earbuds in. And I was like, what fell? What did the cats knock over? Who's breaking in? And it was really just a clap in the thunder in this Rain app that I was listening to.
You know what? It's a problem. I woke up at 3:30 this morning because Minerva meowed and I was like up and out of bed because I thought something was wrong and someone was hurt. And, you know, Dennis woke up and then he exclaimed, "Christy fuck," which I found very funny and, you know, couldn't go back to bed. And that was that. But it's like, yeah, you're very attuned to hearing something in your apartment that's going wrong, I think.
Yeah.
And it prevents you from actually sleeping.
Speaking of things that you can listen to, I put together a playlist on our Spotify account. So you can find Acquired Taste on Spotify. And if you need a playlist to get your tuchus moving.
I saw that. Thank you for doing that.
I worked really hard on it. And it's all really good songs. If you need some good motivation when you wake up in the morning, that is waiting there for you. And I listened to it while I was shopping at Trader Joe's yesterday. And really, I was like skipping down the frozen food aisle like, yeah.
How crazy is Trader Joe's right now?
You know, since they're social distancing and they're not letting a lot of people in, I have to say that it is quite a more pleasant shopping experience than it usually is. Have you been to a TJ's lately?
No, there isn't one near my house. So I've not been in one since before the quarantine started.
I'm horrified. How do you go that long without TJ's?
I know I can't get reasonably priced frozen broccoli or like reasonably priced peanut butter. I've been paying so much for my peanut butter. I actually sent my landlady a peanut butter request when she went to Trader Joe's. And she came back with two jars. Bless her heart.
Oh, I bought almond butter when I was there yesterday, but also
so good.
Green goddess dressing.
So good.
Hold the phone. I'm putting it on everything. I'm trying to eat more plants. And so I'm like trying to find ways to make plants more delicious.
So you're just dousing them in green goddess.
Yes. And it's the stuff that you find in the cold section. So, you know, it's like it's still fresh, kind of.
It's good for you.
Sort of, kind of.
This sort of bleeds into what I learned this week. But I have to tell you something that changed my entire life. Can this count as what I learned this week?
Yes, of course.
Okay. I love these two YouTubers, Robert and James Welsh. They're twin brothers. Robert does more makeup stuff and James does more skincare stuff. And I think it was James who talked about it. But if you have acne scars the way I do and they come fast and furious, I need stuff that's a little bit stronger now. And as the summer is coming, I'm trying really hard to wear less foundation. Mm-hmm. And because I've been inside, the sun isn't hitting my skin and causing all the skin damage. So I've been trying to get rid of these dark acne spots like hardcore. And one of the Welsh brothers recommended these two different products to help eliminate those dark spots. One is called Time Revolution, the First Treatment Essence by Misha. I'm going to link these in the show notes because how do you even?
Yeah.
And then the second one is a rice toner from the company I'm from. And I think they're both Korean skincare, at least the rice toner is. And dude, I have noticed a marked difference in how light the marks on my face are now. Like, I had complete lines of sun damage under my eyes where the sun hit right underneath my sunglasses, even though I wear SPF.
Really?
And they are almost gone. I'm not wearing any foundation right now. And it's like because of staying out of the sun and then using these two products. So they're definitely worth a shot. They're just toners you put on at night.
I love that.
They're amazing. So I highly recommend. They're not paying for this, and I paid full price for them, and I will pay full price for them again. They're really working.
Well, my what I learned this week is sort of a beauty one, too.
Ooh.
If you're the type of person like me who puts on toenail polish and then never takes it off, and then when you finally do, like, your toenails are stained like a really nasty color, now, because nobody's really looking at your feet because you're home, now is an excellent time to soak your feet in some apple cider vinegar, kill all the fungus that's like the superficial fungus that's on your toes, in between your toes, on your nails, just like apple cider vinegar and some water, you know, dilute that shit. Do not do it straight because your tootsie's gonna burn. And then just let your toenails breathe. Do not put any nail polish on them right now. And you know what? Fuck it. If you want to go outside and wear sandals because it's hot out, like, wear your damn sandals. Just let your tootsies breathe, man. Like,
that's a good idea.
Let your toenails breathe. Everything is taking a break right now. Your toes deserve that same damn break.
How much should I cut the apple cider vinegar versus water?
See, like, I always like to live on, I like to walk that line of, like, things that are dangerous.
Uh-huh. You once burned off your face because you were like, it's good for my face if I burn it all off.
If it doesn't burn, it doesn't work, but which is not true at all. I do 50-50, but probably the safer bet for someone who might have sensitive skin or might have a cut on their foot would be like 1/4 apple cider vinegar, 3/4 water, or maybe even less. You have to like know your skin type. And then after you're done doing that soak, just slather your feet in coconut oil.
Ooh, yeah.
These are things you have in your pantry. You don't need to go out and buy any fancy foot creams. Like, yeah. It's just so silly. Fancy foot cream is coconut oil. That's all it is.
I've also, in a pinch, used olive oil.
Any type of oil. If you have oil that's sort of gone bad, like even sesame oil would work. You might smell like last night's stir fry, but you know, who cares? It's soaking into your skin the same as any other oil would.
It is worth it. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at WebGirlKathleen on everything. How about you, Bethany?
I am Radio Bethany on Twitter, Miss Bethany Watson on the Instagrams.
If you want to follow this podcast, you can find us on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group. There are a lot of awesome people in that group.
You can send us an email at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
If you want to send us snail mail, you can do so at an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030. I'm going to get there this week because up until this week, I've really felt uncomfortable going places that mm-hmm. wasn't absolutely mandatory. But I think probably now it's okay that I go and check our P.O. Box.
What else do we have?
Our phone number, Bethany.
Oh, our phone number, which is one that I know by heart. It is definitely a phone number that you should put in your phone.
Yeah,
and I'm going to say you would put it under A for Acquired Taste.
A for the apple of your eye.
Exactly. A for a really great podcast. 917-994-0353.
Wherever you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. Helps us move up in the ranks. We greatly appreciate it.
Our podcast is edited by Charlotte Gartenberg. You can follow her on Twitter at Shargar and on Instagram at lit_fuck.
She is quickly becoming one of my favorite people.
Oh, she's fantastic. She's quippy and smart.
Yeah. We also have merch that we don't talk about, but we're going to come out with some new snazzy new stuff. I feel like we need a little bit of a revamp. You can find our merch on dftba.com. You can search Acquired Taste on that website. Also, you can link over from our own website, acquiredtastepodcast.com.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm yawning today, but I don't know.
Oh, man.
I don't know what it is, Bethany.
Oof. And if you didn't yawn along with Kathleen, you are insane. Isn't that what the test is?
Yeah, something like that. But I'm so sorry.
That seems not accurate for me to say and diagnose you medically. So that was for entertainment purposes only. And Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hey, Buds and Bethany and Kathleen. Can I just complain about how weird it is being single in quarantine. I'm fighting off dick pics from random people, but yet the boy I really like and I want to talk to, I'll text and only calls me back sometimes. Like, how the fuck are we supposed to do this as single people in quarantine? And we can't go on dates, and it's very frustrating. And I just wanted to share. And I love you guys, and I love the group, and I hope other people feel the same way. So thanks for listening to my bitch. Watch The Bachelor on Netflix, because, oh my God, they had people over 30. Like, this is a trip. All right, that's just me. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen, it's Tammy, your Magnolia taste bud. There's been a murder. I found this wonderful little mystery show. It's British, of course, called Rosemary and Thyme. Just wanted to let you know that there's been a murder. Bye.
Hey there, Kathleen, Bethany. This is Christian, taste bud Christian, just giving you a call. It's been a really, really rough time. Been going through a lot, 8-year relationship kind of ending and in this really weird spot. And I just wanted to say thanks to the group for helping me out. I'm going actually to therapy now because it's been a very traumatic situation. I just want to thank you guys for being, you know, making me smile and making me laugh. And love y'all.
Hi, ladies. This is Taste Bud Jackie. While I was at work, I was listening to an audiobook called Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis. Highly recommend. Maybe more fitting if you have kids, but I really think anybody could listen to it. It's like the most motivating thing, and it even fits during this crazy COVID time. Secondly, I was going to say, having like this mommy meltdown moment, I picked up my kids from daycare, and all they've done is scream at me, and they've literally been in my presence for maybe 25 minutes. So, you know, hang in there, mamas. We can do it. So if you hear any screaming or whining in the background, the fact that my children are still whining 25 minutes later, just fantastic. Anyway, ladies, have a good day. Bye-bye.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Tracy from Syracuse. I had to call in to share my experience when I traveled back in 2008, 2009. I went to Uganda in East Africa to visit my sister who's in the Peace Corps. And she was lucky enough to actually have her latrine had a regular toilet over top of it. But when we went to visit her host family, they had a straight up hole in the ground. And let me tell you, squatting over that to go pee was very difficult. Thankfully, it was a dirt floor or I would have felt really bad. But we actually did use a bathroom that was very similar to what you said. It was really classy, tiles everywhere, all marble. But we go inside and it's just, you know, again, a very nice bathroom with a hole in the ground. Is a very interesting experience. Number two was a lot easier to do than number one. I just had to share with the buds. All right. Love you guys. Take care. Bye.